KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have 31 degrees in Atlantic under cloudy skies. We look for the clouds to burn off, and skies should become gradually mostly sunny today. We'll have a high around 38 with winds north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In our news, the race for Senator-elect Joni Ernst vacated Iowa State Senate seat now has six contenders. According to the Daily Nonpareil, Sharla Schmid of Red Oak announced her candidacy on Friday and will vie with five other candidates during the Republican Party's special nominating convention on December 11th in Clarinda. Schmid has been a resident of Montgomery County for 32 years and served on the Red Oak School Board for 13 years. She also holds the state legislative chair for Business and Professional Women of Iowa and was the group's president for two terms. Schmid joins Montgomery County Republican activist Margaret Stoldorf, Farmer Seth Watkins of Clarinda, Fremont County Supervisor Kara Marker Morgan, State Representative Mark Costello, and Tracy Knapp of Ringgold County in seeking the Senate seat. That special election is set for December 30th. Revenue at a new casino in Sioux City is down from when it opened last summer, but an official says the drop was expected and the center is doing well. The Sioux City Journal reports the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City had a revenue of $5.8 million in November. That's down from $7.2 million in adjusted gross revenue in August when the casino opened. Revenue in September and October was about $6 million each month. The $128 million gambling and entertainment center replaced the former Argosy Sioux City riverboat. Mark Monson, the president of the nonprofit group that holds the Hard Rock State's gambling license, says the lower revenue was expected during the winter. He maintains that the center is meeting expectations, saying they're going great guns down there. A federal judge in Iowa this past Wednesday ruled that two state laws that protect the American flag from desecration are unconstitutional. It's a victory for the controversial Westboro Baptist Church in a court case filed on its behalf by the Iowa chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin was asked if the flag needs more protections at the federal level. His short answer was no.
There's always been an effort here, as long as I've been here, to have some kind of constitutional amendment to prevent desecration of the flag. I remember the first time that came up when I was in the Senate was in the late 80s. I was opposed to it then, and I still remain opposed to some kind of constitutional amendment.
Harkin, a Democrat, says he favors a different type of solution.
The best way to protect the American flag is to stand strong for our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And when we stand strong for our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, that does more to protect our flag than any constitutional amendment or any law or anything else that can be done.
U.S. District Judge Robert Pratt said he based his decision on a 1989 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that found burning the American flag during a protest is considered free speech. Protesters from the Kansas-based church held demonstrations at soldiers' funerals last year in Council Bluffs and Red Oak. At the group's protests, members reportedly stood on, spat on, and dragged the Stars and Stripes. One of the Iowa laws that was declared unconstitutional specifies that no one is to trample on or mutilate an American flag. The first shotgun deer season opens today, and while the number of deer taken each year has dropped 33% since 2006, a DNR expert said the prospects for this season remain good.
Well, deer numbers are definitely down from where they were a few years ago, but there's lots of good hunting available. And because last year we had probably a little bit reduced harvest in some areas, there should be some good hunting opportunity. And with the weather, it'd be a great time to be out there.
DNR wildlife researcher Willie Suki says your success in the deer hunt depends on where you go.
We've got good deer numbers in much of the state where there's good deer habitat, and the best habitat is in southern Iowa and northeast Iowa and parts of western Iowa. One change this year would be from northwest Iowa, the first season shotgun hunters will have to can only take antler deer, so that's a restriction to try to protect that herd a little bit up there.
Suki said the state had increased the number of licenses for does or female deer when they wanted to trim the herd and now have cut antlerless tag quotas in 72 counties.
Outside of northwest Iowa, hunters can still shoot does. They just have to kind of think about what's the best thing to do for where they hunt. So we adjust those things annually based on harvest, and that's an important part of what hunters can do for us as well, is to help us manage their deer is report their harvest.
Hunters are required to report taking a deer within 24 hours. Suki says Iowa deer hunters tend to have some experience.
In general, hunters are reflective of our society. We've got a lot of traditional hunters that started when they were young, like me, that were in, you know, the 50s and 60s and 70s. And we've got some newer ones. We don't have a good handle on younger hunters, but we do a lot to try to encourage hunting.
He says that getting young people involved in hunting is a challenge, the same as it is for other pursuits.
Having opportunities available seems to be the biggest thing. The thing that keeps hunters from going in the field is they just have so many other things to do and opportunities to spend their time at. And so hunting, if it's too hard of a thing to get access to go hunting or know how to do it, it becomes a little bit of a problem.
Whether you're young or old, Suki says you have to follow the proper precautions when hunting.
Probably the one thing we always want to emphasize with the shotgun season is safety. Wearing hunter orange is the best first step. And then the second step, if you're hunting with a party, especially, and even if you're not, you should always, know where you're shooting in the right direction so you're not shooting at somebody else in the party.
And the first shotgun deer season runs from now through December the 10th. Key legislators say the slowdown in Iowa's ag economy means the state budget prospects will likely be scaled back in 2015. House Speaker Craig Paulson from Hiawatha is the top-ranking Republican in the legislature, and he says while Iowa's overall economy is growing, not all budget demands can be met because farm income is on the decline.
And that will make it a very difficult budget year. But just because it's difficult doesn't mean we won't figure out how to get through it, and so we will do that. But I think people have to have some pretty tempered expectation when it comes to that.
And Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstall of Council Bluffs is the top-ranking Democrat in the legislature. He says he's upbeat about prospects for 2015, but Gronstall says that Paulson makes a valid point about the budget difficulties ahead.
And that is not going to make this a particularly easy year. Come January, people of good faith on both sides of the political aisle are going to sit down and work together and try and face some of Iowa's most pressing problems. And some of those will be easy, and some of those will be hard, and some of them we won't get done because we won't be able to put that all together.
Legislators in the past have promised increased state spending to bolster education reform efforts in K through 12 schools, as well as the promise of state tax revenue to replace local option sales tax collections due to commercial property tax reductions approved in the 2014 legislative session. In order to meet those promises, legislative leaders say it's likely other areas of the budget will have to be leaner. Governor Terry Branstad will travel to New York City next week to try and convince companies to invest in Iowa. Branstad announced Friday that he'll be in the city from Tuesday through Thursday. Iowa Economic Development Authority Director Debbie Durham will also be on the trip, along with Branstad's wife and some staffers. Economic Development Authority spokeswoman Tina Hoffman said Branstad will host a luncheon for insurance companies and a dinner for experts who advise businesses on where to locate their new facilities. There will also be some private meetings that Hoffman would not detail. Hoffman said state dollars will be used to pay the travel costs for Durham, Hoffman, and another staffer. Branstad, his wife, and another aide will be paid for through a foundation associated with the authority. And the Iowa Association of Electric Cooperatives held at its annual meeting in West Des Moines Thursday and Friday, and renewable energy was one of the issues discussed. IAEC Regulatory Affairs Director Reggie Goodale says the Iowa co-ops are prepared to help customers install solar panels.
All of the Iowa RECs have interconnection policies in place, so if we have customers who are interested in it, having their own solar panels, there's written policies in place to allow for that interconnection to take place and procedures to buy back any excess power they might have.
He says installing individual solar panels is something that's been gaining some interest.
We are seeing some interest by member consumers of doing that. Some of the cooperatives themselves are investing in some solar and taking a look at when that solar produces power versus when their members need the power and trying to figure out how that works in each local system.
Goodale says several things have raised the interest in solar panels in recent years.
The cost has come down quite a bit, and there's still a lot of incentives out there, federal and state incentives that the customers are able to tap into for investment into that, so that does make it economical in certain situations.
And he says the co-ops try to help the customers figure out if it's a good fit for them.
Making sure that the member, if they're looking to invest in solar, making sure they've done their homework. Make sure you understand what the interconnection costs are going to be, what rate schedule you will be on after you get it interconnected, what your incentives are, And it ends up being a win-win situation if the member has done all their homework and working with a good reputable vendor. There's no surprises. Nobody likes surprises along the way.
Goodale says a small number of IAEC customers are using some form of renewable energy at this point.
Including wind and solar, I think out of the 225,000 meters that we serve in Iowa, there's about 400 right now that have either wind or solar. Off the top of my head, probably about 75% of those are solar rather than wind.
Electric co-ops serve customers in all of Iowa's 99 counties. And that is a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.